You're listening to In Focus right here on News Radio KMAN. Andrew Shore's in for Kathy Dawes this morning, and it's USD 383 day here in the K-Man studios. In with me this morning, I have a USD 383 Superintendent Dr. Marvin Wade and Board Member Aaron Estabrook. And if you have a question, you could be sure to give us a phone call, 785-537-1350. And of course, the first of your monthly meetings coming up this evening. And when you look at the agenda, no new business, no old business. Looks maybe deceptively like a light meeting. Quite a few reports going on this evening, and I don't know if Dr. Wade, maybe you wanted to touch a little bit on all the great things going on this evening.
Yeah, I can jump in on this. You know, for one thing, it's hard to believe that it's February 1st. You know, this year's just flying by. So we're in the process of working on things that we need to do to, in some ways, wrap up this school year, make plans for the summer, make plans for next school year. So this is one of those times where we're working in a couple of years framework, kind of at the same time with our focus. So it's always an exciting time as we do that. Some of the things on our agenda tonight is we've got it's exciting that our robotics team is taking a trip to Kansas City, Missouri. It's been I think it started in 2015. It's a club now at the high school, and they're going to Kansas City to learn more about other teams, learn about the competition, and I think even to participate in it. So that's nice to see them being able to do that.
Sounds like a blast, really, when you talk about
Manhattan. It really does.
When you talk about Manhattan High being the fourth best school district in the state, the fourth best high school in the state, whatever that poll was from niche.com.
Yes.
You know, this kind of contributes to that. A lot of schools in the state, they don't have a robotics club or a robotics program whatsoever.
No, they don't. And we're making a concerted effort to introduce more science, technology, engineering, math, and sometimes you hear STEAM with the arts, but trying to expand those opportunities more for our students so they can have more introduction, more exposure, more of the hands-on project-based learning throughout our curriculum, not just the high school, but pushing it down into the lower grades as well. So this is just one indicator of those efforts. So it's exciting. Another thing on the agenda, we've got, a bully prevention annual report. That's an important part of our curriculum, is to help our students understand what bullying is as opposed to harassment, what to do, how to interact with others, and we've got a framework for doing that. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that, as well as additional efforts we're working on with social emotional development and growth and supports in those areas. So that will be a good report for us to have tonight. We've got a mid-year enrollment report that September 20th, if we don't count in these numbers that were reported in September, we didn't include virtual academy, adult education, or preschool numbers, but we were at 6,020 students in the district. And then the report tonight, the latest numbers I saw was January 13th, we were at 6,022. So our numbers went up too.
By two.
So, yeah, that's all right. I'm glad it hasn't gone down. So that's just an update for the board tonight.
Now, will there be an additional count in the spring? I know there are some soldiers deployed from Fort Riley, and this has been a topic of discussion,
right?
You know, as these soldiers come back from deployment, that can possibly mean more students in the district. Is that something you're looking for later this spring?
Well, we used to traditionally have this military second count, and that was unique to the districts that surrounded military installations. And you're right, there is usually a swing in people deploy or people come back, and that affects our school greatly and our classrooms. The last 2 years under the block grant, under Governor Brownback and the legislators' block grant, we have not received any new funding, so that military second count has gone away. That's one thing that the board and I think the community has advocated to the legislature as being part of a new formula. We need to have that because it does influence so many things that we do. But this kind of serves as there's not going to be another probably count that I know of.
Not that I know of, either.
Right. So this would be somewhat to serve that, and it's something we're doing just to show that we, you know, there is a change. It may be two students now, but...
Sometimes it's not. Right. Sometimes it's significantly higher.
And we need to track that where other districts would be, you know, stable, and it would be kind of meaningless for them to track.
Well, you know, when you talk about a mid-year enrollment, you know, you also had some graduates at the middle of the
year.
We did.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's exciting. That one of the things on the agenda is mid-year graduate list from the high school, that there are 33 students that are graduating early from the high school this year. So, you know, congratulations to them for that effort.
I guess my question would be, how many of those 33 students were involved with the programs with MATC who are going to go on right now and further their education this spring?
I don't know a number. I'm going to go find out, though, because I'm curious about that, too. We've got a lot of our students involved in MATC. So I would, you know, it'd be a good number of those.
it's an excellent opportunity that we've offered, and it's growing. Our partnership with MATC, I can speak personally. My daughter's working on the CNA. As a junior in high school, that's, you know, something very cool for us to be experiencing. But the ability for a student to graduate early and potentially with a skill or very close to associate's degree in some aspects is amazing. It's awesome. It's something we have to do, because very soon a vast majority of jobs will require that. And so the high school diploma itself is becoming less of an indicator of your ability to get a job, where we need to have those MATC partnerships.
And Jim Gannant, the president of MATC, and I have been meeting regularly talking about what do we have in place, how can we expand that and find the funding to be able to do it. So we had a meeting Friday afternoon. We've kind of got ongoing meetings talking about those opportunities and how we can continue to work even more closely together to benefit our students, their students, really the whole community.
Well, and that topic was sort of came up at the Flint Hills Regional Leadership Retreat in Olathe a few weeks ago. I know you were present, Dr. Wade, and they talked about the importance of technical education here in the Flint Hills. And you know, what are your thoughts as far as that retreat and seeing all the emphasis on education, really?
I was excited about it, to hear the expectations that are there from leaders within the region, and the opportunities for us to work together is very critical. And as you said, the technical education piece, that I support those efforts, that the better opportunity, the better we can better prepare our students, they're going to be better employees out there in the community. And we're working closely with the businesses on how do we bridge that gap, provide the students, again, you know, I've said before about more opportunities, it's giving them the certifications that mean something for getting higher paying jobs, for them to take the dual credit classes that get them the college credits while they're in high school. And just whatever we can do to expand those opportunities for our students, it's going to better prepare them and maybe help us go from 4-3 to 2-1 on that list you were mentioning earlier.
Yeah, I think that fourth ranking is debatable. I would say we're probably the best school in the state.
Well, I think one thing I've noticed just from covering the school board is it's just an expectation within the community and within the whole region, really, because there's a slew of other area school districts that were also ranked really high on that list. So it's something that everyone in the region is obviously paying a lot of attention to. And when you talk about business partnerships, you know, it's obvious every meeting, every month, you have plenty of donations from local businesses. And I know you probably want to go through those here, but it's just incredible, really, because that's a lot of money coming your way from people who just really want to see you succeed, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's been a very difficult few years lately of trying to navigate that. So those business partnerships, the donations we receive, and the fact that when we look at those other schools statewide that have that ranking, we're definitely at the top of the list when it comes to some of the struggles that our district faces and the things that make it unique when it comes to socioeconomic status or the diversity we provide. We set ourselves apart and we overcome those struggles, and we do lead, I think, the state in that. So,
and a couple comments I'd like to make to that would be, talking about it, we kind of joke about the competition that we get along well with the other districts, the surrounding districts. When we talk, as you mentioned, in Olathe, the regional leaders, well, we work together, the businesses, higher ed, the school districts, we work together as a region, that there's friendly competition there, but we also look for the opportunities for us to partner whenever possible and try to change the mindset from we don't have enough money to do all the things we want to do to let's make the plans for everything we want to do at the highest level possible and then use that as an impetus to go find partners that can help us fund the things we need to do. And the business partnerships and Fort Riley and, again, K-State, as we heard in Olathe, you know, all working together is just one of the appealing aspects of this region.
And on that note, we received $31,000 in donations this week, and we're going to talk about those tonight. But $9,900 coming from the Lee Elementary PTO, and we thank our parents who are very involved in all of our schools. But we also received $500 from the Manhattan Optimist Club, $1,500 cash donation from Garmin International for the Robotics Club expenses, $10,000 from Riley County's Raising Riley to the College Hill Preschool, $2,500 cash grant from Walmart to Head Start, and that's allowed the children to create art for the afternoon at the museum, the Beach Museum, and enhance their experience in the arts. $3,919.58 from the Riley County Raising Riley to the Head Start for Behavioral and Mental Health Specialist. $3,648.94 cash from the Manhattan High School Booster Club for activity supply. So you see some of the opportunities we're offering students. Those wouldn't be possible without that community partnership and without those dollars coming in to make it possible. And even from places like Garmin to help our robotics club, all the way down to our parents working at the PTO level to raise money for us.
That's impressive because, like you said, with Garmin, you know, that's a regional corporation helping make things possible for Manhattan High students, and that's just really impressive. We're going to go and head to a break right here on KMAN's In Focus. Of course, this morning, joined by USD 3D3 Superintendent Dr. Marvin Wade and board member Aaron Estabrook. We'll be right back after this.